Praise the Lord. Praise our wonderful God. Amen. You know, it is a wonderful thing to be able to lean on Jesus. You know, sometimes people get in trouble, and it could be me, you know, because I might try to lean on my own flesh or my own arm. And you know, boy, that doesn't work, does it? It's a wonderful thing to be able to give everything over to Jesus. You know, our burdens, our cares, our needs, our soul, just everything to Jesus. And you know, let Him work it out. Praise the Lord. You know, I had a phone call, I guess it was Sunday night, I believe. And anyway, it was a good friend of the ministry, and she was having a problem. She didn't, you know just how in the world it was ever going to get answered, and she was afraid that her son was in great jeopardy, and you know, her ex-husband had kicked him out, it seemed, and he's autistic and has, you know, his own setbacks and all, and she, you know, it was really something to, you know, I mean, what is the answer? And here I am, you know, many, many miles away, as if that, you know, I couldn't really assist her very well. But you know what? We prayed. And praise the Lord, I was able to pray in tongues. And you know, because so many times, honestly, I don't know what it's about. You know, I mean, how could I figure it? It's way too much for me. But you know what? The Lord answered. Praise the Lord, and everything was well. And you know, it was calm. The next morning when I heard from her again, it had turned out all right. But you know, I'm so thankful. We just don't know. These situations come up. You know, you hear the sirens going down the street, and you know that there's trouble. But how precious it is that we can lean on Jesus, that we can turn it over to Him, and you know, just let Him work. Oh, maybe the lavalier isn't on. Oh, no, there's a light.
Well, that should fix it.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not sure. I guess the lavalier wasn't turned on, so here I am. But anyway, I was mentioning that it is a wonderful thing to be able to lean on the Lord Jesus. And I was talking about how this phone call I received the other Sunday night, last Sunday night, this, you know, dear friend, and very frantic at the moment, not knowing what was going to come of her son. It seemed that his dad had kicked him out, and, you know, she didn't know. I believe he's on the autistic side and you know, has some troubles that away. But praise the Lord, we were able to pray together. And, you know, the next morning I heard from her, and all had been well. Praise the Lord. The Lord took care of it. But we were able to pray, you know. And so often when I don't know specifically how to pray, I just turn it over to the Lord. And often I just let the Lord speak through me in another language, in tongues. And God knows how to answer. That is such a wonderful privilege that we have. Oh, my God has made a way that, oh, our answers can be met, or the needs can be met. The answers can come, regardless of what they are. There certainly is nothing too hard for our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know that, oh, my, the one who's there in those moments of trials and troubles and you know, the sudden things that come up at times. Praise the Lord. Oh, how often have we called upon Him, and He has intervened in mighty ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer here as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we can come boldly before Thee. We thank You, Lord, that Your arm is stretched in mercy towards them that will call upon You, Lord. And oh God, we thank you, Lord, that, oh God, we can gather here, oh Lord, to, oh, increase our faith, Lord. Oh God, to draw nigh to you, to hear thy word. Oh God, to sing thy praises, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that you are near them that cry out to thee, nigh unto them. Oh Lord, that, oh God, cry out to thee with a heart. And oh God, we just ask that you'd move here tonight. God, you know every particular need, Lord. You know us as individuals, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would move. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd move with the Holy Ghost. I pray, oh Lord, that you would touch us afresh, Lord. Oh God, that the answers would come, Lord. And oh God, that you'd speak forth, oh Lord. Oh God, you know that one that has yet not turned his or her life over to thee, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would move here tonight. Oh God, that your will would be done, Lord. I give you this message. I ask for thy help, Lord. I ask, oh Lord, that you would work in our lives, that you'd give us ears to hear, Lord. Oh God, a mind that can perceive, Lord. Oh God, the ability that we need that comes from thee, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are with your people, Lord. Two or three gather together in thy name. Thou art here in our midst. And we thank you, Lord. We praise thee in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, let the devil be rebuked. Every contrary thought in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, have your way, Lord. Speak to our hearts and help us, Lord. Oh, yes, let your word have free course, I ask, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. He is good to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message Freedom from Sin here tonight. And I was in the middle of a conversation, or maybe I wasn't really in the middle, but I was listening to a conversation actually on Sunday, and it was interesting. It was brought up that a certain man was known who... due to a certain circumstance, just kind of let his tongue go and said all kinds of things I don't believe he meant. And you know, on top of it, he lied and he blamed someone else for that which he had done. And you know, it was just, you know, something obviously that, you know, was very distressing to hear. But the trouble is that this individual thinks he's a Christian. And, you know, it's so common these days, it seems. There is a problem in this world. Oh, it's been a problem forever, really, as long as, you know, there's been sin in this world. But at this point, it seems even more so, because it seems that people no longer seem to have a discernment as far as what sin is. They don't seem to be able to, you know, realize and recognize it. I know many people live in adultery, fornication, and all kinds of unclean living, and, you know, watch filthy television, and oh my, engage in dirty talk, and, you know, listen to things that are inappropriate, and you know, subject to cursing and swearing and lying and cheating and stealing and all of those things. Oh yeah, some of them might even engage in pornography and all kinds of unclean things that are in this world. But so many of these people, in spite of the sin that they're tremendously involved in, still think that they're Christian. They seem to, you know, think that, you know, God's going to wink at this, what they are doing, and the things that are coming out of their mouth, the deeds that they are doing, and all of this, and still think that they will be blameless somehow when they stand before God. But God's word comes highly in opposition to such thinking. Yet I do realize that this thinking was even prevalent even in the times of old. And if we just turn to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, verse for just a little bit here. I'm just going to read a few verses here to just exemplify this detail. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 6. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 11, let's start with verse 10 actually. Verse 10, Jeremiah 6. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with a wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For here's the problem. Verse 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. Oh, do we smell a rat here? Wow, it's very sad when nobody discerns what sin is and is given over to all kinds of sin, all kinds of corruption, all kinds of evil ways. And here it mentions covetousness. And yes, even from the prophet unto the priest, even they, the people that should have been in the know-how, the people that should have had God's word deeply in their hearts, even they dealt falsely, it tells us. And besides, verse 14 tells us, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And so he declares in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So here we have a description of a people that, oh my, could no longer tell right from wrong. And yes, they were committing abominations, in other words, things that God despises and hated, things that are in great opposition to his word. But in spite of that, they weren't, they were just going on their merry way. And, they were just acting as if it was nothing. And they couldn't even blush when, it came out, or they did such things. It was so common, so normal to them that they didn't even discern how despicable it was in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, God saw it though. God knew it. And he wasn't blinking at it by any means. Oh, yes, it was recorded. There was going to be that time of visitation. Oh, yes, and it did come to old Israel, as we know. That time when they would be cast down, and oh yes, their houses would be turned unto others, and all the fields and the wives together and everything else given over to the Babylonians. But yes, we are living in a time when it just seems that sin is winked at, and people no longer can tell. They just feel like, you know, it's the way of life and we're all sinners. And, you know, Joe down the street speaks like that. He does these things. He has his booze. He smokes and he does all this and that. You know, I must be as good as him. But oh my, you compare yourself with one another, then there's no wisdom in that. Oh my, you can all be wrong. You can all be falling into the ditch. In the book of Isaiah, we also have some descriptions like this too. And I'd like to turn to Isaiah, the 5th chapter here for a few verses too, because I believe this also describes this situation here that we are speaking of here tonight. Isaiah chapter 5, and let's start with verse 18 here. It says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." You know, just freely sinning as if it was just as normal as can be without blinking the eye. That say, "Let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it." It's like a challenge to God. And I, again, this is really something. You know, people that are drawing iniquity with cords of vanity, with their pride, with, you know, their actions and all of that, and sinning, you know, just continuously, practically, and, you know, as it were, with a cart rope. Oh, something, you know, that would draw a cart, you know, it just, you know, an ordinary thing. And yet, you know, they say, "Let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it." Again, the blinders there, you know, people blatantly involved in sin and the ways of the world and committing such, and yet thinking that they're Christians, thinking that they have, you know, an appeal to God. But it says in verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the street. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." And I'll tell you what, it's a horrible thing when God's hand is stretched out in wrath against you, in opposition to you. Oh, that's not the way you want it to be. But here we have a description of a people that no longer could discern right from wrong. Oh, they saw it completely opposite. Evil, good. Good, evil. Put darkness for light and light for darkness. Bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Wise in their own eyes. Prudent in their own sight. Oh my. Mighty to drink wine and to mingle their strength with strong drink. Oh my. And justify the reward. Or justify the wicked for reward. Oh, I'll tell you what. not good by any means. Oh, my. Oh, yes, and even to take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Just all reverse from the ways that God sees it. Oh, my. Well, that is what brings on the wrath of God. Oh, yes, and this description talks about, yes, these people who had cast away the law of the Lord, disregarded it, despised it, misinterpreted it deliberately, perhaps, you know, rewrote it to their own liking, which we see being done at this point. I know Brother Samuel has mentioned how the Chinese government is rewriting the Bible to their own liking, obviously. And, you know, there's been just many groups of people that are trying to get away with things that they don't like in God's Word. I know I've heard sometimes, you know, people that would, you know, start tearing out pages because they didn't like what was on that page. And you start tearing out pages, pretty soon there's nothing left, is there? Oh, my. Oh, how we need the Word of God. Oh, that lamp unto our feet, that light unto our path. Oh, that Word that we want to hide in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. How we need the Word of God so that we can rightly discern the ways of the Lord. Oh, yes. How we need the Lord in all our ways. And yes, that chapter also talks about because the people were so led astray and because they had no knowledge and their honorable men were famished, the multitude dried up with thirst, the famine in the land for the real truths of God's Word because it wasn't being taught. It was being ignored. It was being put down. Oh, my, such a condition. The scripture talks about hell, therefore, hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Oh, the day is coming. The day is coming when God is going to pour out his wrath like no one has ever seen. Oh, my. People have no clue at all, it seems, what it will be like when God pours out his wrath. Oh, when they have to stand before him and give an account of the deeds that they did in their lifetime. Oh, yes. What a day that's going to be. And, you know, just noticing the very last part of this chapter where there's a description with verse 28, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Oh, my, the day of God's judgment. Oh, when there is calamity like no one has ever understood before or ever been a part of. Oh, how we want to be as those that are judged righteous in the sight of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God because God has made a way that we can be freed from sin. Yes, that we can have his righteousness, God's righteousness, so that we can stand before him on that great and terrible day of the Lord. Amen. There are some portions in the New Testament I want to go to now too. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, just a little portion of scripture here that I want to show you here tonight. Looking at the 9th verse here, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 9 tells us clearly, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's very clear, isn't it? But praise God, it says in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful gift the Lord has given us so that we can be justified. Oh, yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. He made a way so that we could repent and turn from our wicked deeds. Oh, praise the Lord. He made a way that we could go down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, so that we might be justified, made just. Oh, yes, able to put on the righteousness of our God. And yes, the wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost that he gives to his people. Yes. Oh, yes, by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord made a way so that we could have freedom from sin. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Going to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I'm sorry, I meant Galatians, the 5th chapter. It tells us in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that ye would. You see, there is a war going on within our beings, and it describes it here. Oh, the need to walk in the Spirit, in other words, to be clothed with the Spirit of God. This is Galatians, the 5th chapter. I just read verse 16 and 17 now. That war that goes on within us, the flesh wanting to do contrary things. But praise the Lord for the Spirit of God that, you know, comes against that arm of the flesh. And praise the Lord, I know Pastor Meyer used to say, the one that wins is the one that you feed the most. Oh yes, if you're going to feed the flesh, oh, the flesh is going to get the advantage then, isn't it? But praise the Lord, we need to learn to put down that arm of the flesh. Those thoughts and all those kind of imaginations that try to arise in our mind, all those vain things and, you know, those contrary things that arise to the mind. Or maybe even, you know, just, oh, those quick flares that, you know, try to, you know, get us to do something that totally is contrary. But praise the Lord for the Spirit of the living God. Oh, yes, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a new and living way that the Lord Jesus brought. Oh, yes, so that we could be led by the Spirit. Oh, the things of the law were just for that time being, and that was under the old covenant. But God has made a better way. Another way, yes, that we can live in victory, that we can have victory over sin. Praise the Lord. And it names, as we continue here in this chapter, it names the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, we're told, yes, there's a conflict here. The flesh wants to do one thing, but the spirit is completely different. And oh, how we need to give heed to the spirit of the living God. We need to be led by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So we're not under the law, under the old covenant. And oh, so we can have victory over the arm of flesh that tries to destroy and hinder us. And oh, bring all these, you know, undesirable traits into our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit, as it tells us in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise the Lord. Oh, there is a way that we can walk, yes. Oh, that will be proper and pleasing to Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Oh, when we put on Christ, when we walk in the Spirit, praise the Lord. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit can abound in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Oh, against such there is no law. Praise the Lord. No law. The Bible will endorse all of that. Praise the Lord. And yes, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. We let the flesh go. Yeah, we put it down. We don't want to give in to those tendencies that were once a part of our makeup. Praise the Lord. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that God made a way that we could live in victory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Romans, the 6th chapter here. Praise the Lord. We were in Romans 5 last week. And what a wonderful thing it is to be justified by the saving blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. But he goes on in the 6th chapter of Romans to ask a question, because you know, it's the grace of God is so wonderful. And we could all rejoice in it. We know as chapter 5 in Romans was ending, it tells us how the law had entered, that the offense might abound. We're in verse 20 here. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. But he goes into the next chapter by asking a question. He asks in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? As we just read, yes, it's a wonderful thing where there was sin and it abounded. It was, it was abundant. It was overflowing. There was grace, right? But, you know, does that allow for sin in our life just so grace may abound? Well, the answer is very clear, isn't it? Verse 2 tells us, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we know that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians, that fifth chapter. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. That's what salvation is all about. Oh, yes, we come to the Lord as we are. We give him our hearts. We give him our sin. We repent of it. Ask him to take it from us. Praise the Lord. But then, oh yes, they command to be baptized in his name. And what a precious opportunity it is, because yes, it is compared here as a burial, as being buried with Jesus Christ unto death. Oh yes, Jesus died so that we might be freed from sin. Praise the Lord. And we die unto repentance. Oh yes, not wanting that arm of the flesh to no longer be an obstacle in our lives. So we die out to it. And baptism represents a burial with Jesus Christ, that we're dying to the old man, to all the sin, all the things that once abounded in our life when we knew not the Lord. Praise the Lord. So yes, we are raised up from the dead, from the deadness of our past life when we didn't know the Lord, so that we can walk in newness of life. It tells us in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, this is necessary. This is essential. Praise the Lord, you know, because, oh, we certainly want to rise in the likeness of his resurrection. And praise the Lord, this is talking about the old man being put down and the new man rising up. And also, yes, that day when, oh yes, we rise to forever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, that promise that we have. And it explains in verse 6, knowing this, that our old ways, our old tendencies is crucified with him. See, that's what repentance is all about. It's dying out to the ways of the flesh, the old man, all the despicable things we did, the things that were abominations in the sight of God, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And praise the Lord, yes, we're buried with Christ, and he takes those sins, those abominable things, that way of thinking, he takes it, he buries it in a sea of forgetfulness when we go down into those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord, and we can rise to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Oh, praise the Lord. We die out to that old man. Oh, so yes, those past works are remitted in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. And the verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Praise the Lord, he did it once. And praise the Lord, that did it. Praise the Lord, there's no more death that will ever have dominion over the Lord Jesus. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Praise the Lord. Then he goes on to say, verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12 tells us, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Praise the Lord. Yes, that need to put those old ways, those old lusts, those old things down. We don't want to continue in sin that grace may abound. No way. God forbid, as he said. Oh, yes, that very first verse. So we are reckoned to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And then verse 13 tells us, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Praise the Lord. And we talked about that war that goes on inside, that, you know, the lust of the flesh, contrary to the Spirit of the living God. But praise the Lord, here we have a key. It says, yield, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. You don't want to give, you know, yourself over to the works of the devil, to the works of sin, by any means, but rather give it unto God. Yield, give it to God, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Praise the Lord. That's how we win out. Yes, we give ourselves over to God and we let him rule and reign in our body. You know, I think every day as we begin our day, there's a need to turn it over to the Lord, asking him to direct our path and to help us, to keep us from evil. Help us, oh yes, not to yield to anything that would be unclean or unholy or unrighteous. Praise the Lord, to give that day to God and take all authority over the power of the air, the works of the devil, all those things that would try to come against us. Praise the Lord, we can have victory over the flesh. It tells us in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Praise the Lord, it's a new and it's a living way. Praise the Lord that God has brought for us so, oh, we can have victory, so we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he asks the question, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? Okay, see, obviously people were a little bit confused back then too. Obviously, Paul felt like there was a great need to make these things very clear. You can't serve sin, in other words. But here, you know, it comes up again. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And again, here it is, those two words, God forbid. And he goes to clarify it again in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Oh, yes, very important points here. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Who are you listening to? Who are you giving heed to? The arm of flesh or the Spirit of the living God? Oh, yes. It's, you know, whoever you're listening to, that's whose servant you're going to be. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I plan to come back here and finish this chapter, but I want us to turn here for a moment to John, the 8th chapter. John, chapter 8. And yes, while I'm on it, you know, the first part of this chapter deals with the woman who was caught in adultery, and you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, being as they were, brought her to Jesus, and they wanted to see what Jesus would do with this woman who had broken the law. But of course, Jesus had a way, oh my, of dealing with this situation that they never guessed. Praise the Lord, in such a way, you know, when, you know, they asked, you know, what shall be done to her? In other words, you know, Moses commanded that she should be stoned, but what are you going to say, Lord Jesus? You know, he didn't answer with words. He stooped down and he started to write in the ground with his finger, and you know, they continued nagging him on and asking him, but you know, he told them then, he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." And again he stooped down and he began to write on the ground. Oh, I don't know what he wrote, but oh, it convicted them, didn't it? Oh, they were convicted by their own consciences, and they went away one by one, beginning at the eldest and even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone with this woman. He lifted himself up, and he saw no one but the woman, and he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that need. Yes, he didn't condemn her. No, she was having an opportunity. Oh, yes, to go right. Oh, yes, to repent and, oh, turn to the living God. But he told her clearly to go and sin no more. Oh, put that behind you. Don't repeat these deeds that you have done. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm giving you opportunity to repent and turn to the living God. And he said in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but to have the light of life." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus came to this world as the light of the world. Oh, yes, he came to expose the darkness. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Oh, yes, he was exposing the darkness because that's what light does. It brings out the darkness. And if we have the light of Jesus Christ within our beings, then we too are going to expose the darkness. We're going to expose sin. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what the light does. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I want to continue with some of the other things in this chapter here. I want to go down a little bit in this 8th chapter of the book of John, as he continues to speak with these individuals. And it tells us in verse 30, "As he spake these words, many believed on him." Oh, praise the Lord. We don't hear that too often in the scripture. But let's continue here. It says in verse 31, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him," and here's that little two-letter word, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And he went on to say in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't think that statement would be such a hindrance to these people, that they'd get so upset. But yes, they got upset. Verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, I don't know how they even could say that, but anyway, they had this pride problem. And, you know, they had this feeling because they were special. They had this heritage. They were Jews, and they were Abraham's seed, and therefore, they weren't in bondage. They were free people. And why did he say that? If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, this really riled them. But Jesus explains, verse 34, Jesus answered them, a proof text here, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. Oh my, he's really bearing down. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? And oh my, here's the point. Even because ye cannot hear my word, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Oh my, yes, it really changed, didn't it? Here are these people, and at first they could understand. It seemed they were believing on him. But oh my, a lot of friction came about when Jesus began to tell them, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, what was he talking about? Oh, they assumed they were free. They were Abraham's seed. They were not born in fornication either. They were not, children without, a father in that sense, But, oh my, Jesus had another point he was trying to bring out. And that point, verse 34, when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Oh my, so many people seem to be content to live in their sin. They may want to be called a Christian. They might want to be called a child of God. But yet, there's something that's hanging on their back. Oh, there's a bondage. There's something that is very hard to lift, that load of sin that's hanging upon them because there's sin in their life. They haven't given it to God. Oh my, they're full of it. And doing deeds that please the devil in reality. Just as these people, even though they heard to a certain extent, we're not ready to give up sin. were not ready to turn their lives over to the living God and to get right, to repent, oh, to bend the knee and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I know I can't do it on my own self. I know I don't have power within my own being, but Lord, I ask you to come into my life. Oh, yes, to forgive me of my sins. Oh, to give me a strength that I don't have of myself. Oh, Lord Jesus, please hear me. Oh, God hears that kind of cry, doesn't he? Oh, yes, because there's a truth there. Whosoever commit a sin is a servant of sin. It's hanging on your back. If you haven't given it over to the Lord Jesus, you're a servant of sin. You're bound to sin. You're subject to sin. But praise the Lord, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Praise the Lord, we can give that over to the Lord Jesus. We can turn our lives over to the Lord. We can repent. Praise the Lord. We can be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, and He has promised to give us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that wonderful Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in our being. Oh, so that we can have power over sin, power over the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eye, the pride of life. Praise the Lord, so we don't have to be subject to sin, so we can be delivered as a servant of sin. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Oh, you're either going to hold to the one and despise the other, or, you know, you're going to hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, one is contrary to the other. There's two things going on. There is a need to repent, to turn away from sin. Oh, you know, Jesus told that story there in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke of the two men who went up into the temple to pray, and the one being a Pharisee and the other a publican. And that Pharisee stood and he prayed with himself. Oh, he was so pleased with himself. Oh, he thought he was so righteous. You know, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags, right? Oh, we can't please God of our own self, of our own works, of our own ways. We have to turn it over to the Lord and let Him give us His righteousness. Oh, what a need there is. Oh, that people would truly turn their lives over to the living God and repent. Oh, Jesus told that story. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Oh, so proud of his works. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So proud, so full of himself. Oh, my. Oh, his own righteousness is so he thought. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, I can imagine. Again, smiting his breast, he couldn't even look up. Oh, he was so burdened down with that load of sin that was upon him. And oh, there was, oh, a cry that came up from his being. Oh, Lord, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, how we need the living God. How we need to turn to Him with all our hearts. We cannot be justified by our own works. Oh, it's only the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that can justify us and make us clean. Oh, it can take away our sin. Nothing else can take away sin. Nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ can redeem us. Oh, I praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Oh, yes, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, yes, it takes humbling to admit that we are a sinner and that we need Jesus, that we could not do it of ourselves. Oh, my, it takes humbling to do that. Oh, but thank the Lord. The Lord hears that. Oh, the Lord has respect unto that. The Lord forgives us when we submit ourselves unto God. Oh, yes, when we give our life over to the living God, He hears that. Oh, yes. Oh, that's the kind of person that He forgives. Oh, if we confess our sins. Oh, the Lord is merciful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we could just turn it all over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord, that great need. Yes, as it tells us in 1 John, that first chapter, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. What would keep you from doing that? What would be in the way? Would it be pride? That, you know, unwillingness to just admit, I'm a sinner. Oh, we've all sinned. Oh, Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, there's none righteous. No, not one. We all were in the same boat. We all needed Jesus. There was no other way. If you try to come up another way, you're a thief and a robber, Jesus said. Oh, but He made a way. He made a way. He made a way so that we can stand before God and be clothed with His righteousness, praise the Lord, and not be condemned. Oh, I thank God He made a way. We don't have to live in our sins. Praise the Lord. Turning back to Romans, the 6th chapter, to finish this chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 16 again. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Praise the Lord. Oh, Peter gave, yes, he paved the way. He gave the good news there on the day of Pentecost. He told them when they asked, what must we do to be saved? Oh, he said it clearly, that form of doctrine. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, yes, that form of doctrine, oh, which was delivered you. Praise the Lord, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And praise God for the people that obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And praise the Lord, there's deliverance with obedience. Praise the Lord, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. Praise the Lord. We can yield. We can give our lives over to the living God. Praise the Lord. And yielding our members, oh, yes, to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Verse 20 says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Yes, Jesus, as he explained there to those Jews, yes, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. But praise the Lord, what is the truth that makes you free? Oh, that is the knowledge that you can come to Jesus Christ and be freed of your sins. Praise the Lord. That's what makes you free. Oh, yes, to be able to give those ugly old despicable things that we all did, that old man, that old nature, those things that came natural at one point over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Oh, that's where it leads. It leads to eternal damnation, separation from God, eternal death. But praise the Lord for the new and living way. Verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Oh, the way of the cross. It leads home. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we humbled ourselves. Oh, there was that day when we met the Lord Jesus. There was that day when we bowed our knee. Oh, yes, when we gave up all that old bondage of sin. Praise the Lord. And we gave it to Jesus. Praise the Lord. And oh, how he intervened in our lives. Praise the Lord, we obey that command to be baptized in his name. Praise the Lord, and oh yes, as we believed, we were filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, as we yielded to the Lord and let him come into our temple. Praise the Lord, he baptized with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. For as this chapter ends, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. We all had that bondage of sin upon our life. But praise the Lord, there is a new and living way. Oh, a way that we can give our life over to God. Praise the Lord. The sin is going to lead to death, everlasting death, condemnation. Oh, that's the way of it. That's what the wages of sin brings forth. But praise the Lord, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, praise our Lord. Praise our Lord. Have you turned your life over to Jesus? Have you repented and been baptized in his name? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Are you walking in the light even as Jesus is the light? Praise the Lord. Have you given up that load of sin and turned it over to God? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, then, yes, praise the Lord. You've been freed from sin. You've given it over to the Lord Jesus. You're not walking in that contrary way. Oh, yes, it's just one or the other. The way of the world, the way of sin leads to death. Eternal separation from God. Everlasting condemnation. The eternal lake of fire. Oh, yes, it's not the way to go. You don't want to go that way. But I pray, oh, yes, if you're under the sound of my voice, you bend the knee and give your heart to the Lord, even now, even tonight. This is the day of salvation. This is an acceptable time. The door of salvation is still open. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. He's knocking. Oh yes, it tells us, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh, praise the Lord. He stands there at your heart's door. Oh, praise the Lord. I pray that there would be nobody that hears this message that would not yield their heart over to the living God. Oh, it's such a wonderful privilege, a gift that we have been given, the gift of eternal life, if we will turn our life over to God and obey the gospel, that form of doctrine which was delivered. Praise the Lord, there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord, we don't have to remain servants of sin. Oh, yes, with that heavy load upon our back. Oh, doing all those things that most everybody does and you know, things we should be doing too. But God has made a way. A wonderful way that we can come to him and be saved. Oh, that we can turn our lives over to the Lord and be made free from sin. Oh, yes, and become servants to God. Oh, having our fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Praise the Lord. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would help each and every one, Lord, that ever hears this message. Oh God, work in our hearts. Change us. Make us free. Oh God, help us never to be subject to sin, but help us to live above and beyond it. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We can turn our lives over to the Lord. And if any man sin, we can again realize that we have the wonderful advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Praise the Lord. A little talk with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing tonight, we're going to open our hymnals to number 270 and sing Nothing But the Blood, number 270. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow.
nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dismissed on the prayer in Jesus.